Only those who were young, physically fit, and full of ambition would dare try to cross Panama or go overland from the eastern United States to the Pacific. There was a third way, by boat around Cape Horn, but that took at least 6 months and was 18,000 miles long, not to mention dangerous and expensive. Lieutenant William T. Sherman went via that route in the first year of the Mexican War, 1846. A West Point graduate in 1840, he had been on recruiting duty in Zanesville, Ohio, when the war began. For Sherman, it was intolerable that he was missing the hostilities. He left his sergeant in charge and made his way east, traveling by stagecoach. There were no trains west of the mountains. At Pittsburgh, he found orders relieving him from recruiting and putting him in Company F, 3rd Artillery, which was gathering at Governor's Island to take a naval transport to California. The Lexington was at Brooklyn at the Naval Yard making preparation, which meant taking on the stores sufficient for so many men for such a long voyage. When the ship was ready, on July 14, 1846, a steam tug towed her to sea. Off the Lexington sailed for the tip of the continent. About the middle of January, the ship approached the California coast, but when land was made, there occurred one of those accidents so provoking after a long and tedious voyage. The navigator misread the position of the North Star, and the ship was far north of its destination, Monterey, the capital of Upper California. The captain put about, but a southeast storm came on and buffeted the ship for several days. Eventually, it got into the harbor. It was January 26, 1847. The Lexington had left New York 202 days earlier. Her route was the only way to get any goods too large to be handled by horses in a stagecoach from the East Coast to the West Coast. Sherman traveled up and down the coast, finding the country very lightly populated. San Francisco, then called Yerba Buena, had some 400 people, most of them Kanaka, natives of the Sandwich Islands. There was a war on. Gold had not yet been discovered. But the conclusion of the Mexican War, the taking of full legal possession by the United States, and the discovery of gold, all in the next year, led to the rush to California. The problem of getting there remained. It must be doubted that ever before had such a desirable place been so isolated. Still, they came on. One was Mark Hopkins, born on the eastern shore of Lake Ontario on September 3, 1814, who worked as a storekeeper and then a bookkeeper in New York City. He cut a handsome figure, and by age 35 was making a good salary. He could have been thought of as a man settled in his ways, but it wasn't so. When news of the discovery of gold reached him, he joined with 25 others to form a mining company, the New England Trading and Mining Company. The partners invested $500 each. With the money, they bought supplies and mining equipment that none of them knew how to use. In January 1849, they set sail for Cape Horn. It was the beginning of a 196-day trip plagued by storms, bad food, not enough drinking water, and a tyrannical captain. They finally arrived in San Francisco on August 5, 1849. The partners quarreled and soon broke up. After some fruitless wandering around San Francisco and up in the mountains, looking for a spot to start a store, Hopkins, in February 1850, went to Sacramento to set up shopkeeping. It was, as it happened, at 52 K Street, next door to a store Huntington had opened. Both men lost their investments in the terrible fire of 1852. Both immediately rebuilt. Out of shared interests and mutual troubles, they developed an abiding affection for each other, different though they were in ages and personalities. They became partners and switched from general store merchants to dealing in heavy hardware for farms and mines.